Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So me and Tim we socialised this week.
Yeah.
Went to see a play. We went to see Upstart Crow, which is written by Ben Elton from his TV series. And it's got David Mitchell in it, who's very funny as Shakespeare. David Mitchell and Victoria Coren recently had a wedding anniversary, which I was invited, Tim wasn't. He doesn't know them, but he wasn't invited. And we spent a lot of time on the way there and on the way back discussing how long it might have been before he was invited, how much bigger their wedding anniversary would have to be before he was invited. We never quite worked that out.
No.
But one thing that happened, which was sort of amazing, and, you know, there'll probably be about a few people listening to this who are aware of my other work, my stand-up work and what. So it may not come as a surprise to you what happened, but this particular thing, this trope, this David Baddiel trope, hasn't happened to me for a while, and it is incredibly coincidental that it happened then. So we came out of it, and we were both at Gloucester Road Tube Station, on our way to Gloucester Road Tube Station, I think we were. We were Victoria or somewhere.
Victoria.
Standing at the platform, and a woman came up to me and she said, I must just talk to you about something you did recently. And I thought, right, I've done recently this programme, Jews Don't Count, on Channel 4, a lot of people coming up to me to talk about it. I have a special requisite kind of serious listening face.
Yes, I noticed that.
Want to say something. It's normally something quite, you know, touching or serious or profound or, you know, very, very serious about the programme. So I had that face. And she said, I just thought it was really, really great that you brought back Friday Night Life. And thus I found myself in the position of saying, which I haven't said for a while, no, I'm not Ben Elton.
Yeah.
And she looked really, like, confused. And then she said, oh, God. And I said, I'm David Baddiel. And what was most amazing about it, she said, oh God, you talk about this.
Yeah,
you talk about being mistaken for Ben Elton, and now I've done it.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, that is exactly what's happened.
But then I think it's fair to say she maybe had a few drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was funny.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas, as this podcast comes into its own at Christmas, I think. She said, amazingly, as you say, like, oh, you've said this before. So she was caught in a sort of vortex.
Yeah, in a really weird meta.
Yeah, in a sort of meta
loop.
Is it the egg or the shell sort of conundrum?
Yeah.
But then, I don't know if you noticed, but then having sort of acknowledged that and said, sorry, she then said, but you were really good or something, or he was really good.
She did say it was really good. She didn't lose the urge to say to Ben Elton, to Ben Elton, it was great that you brought back Friday Night Live. Like, the fact that she worked out it was David Baddiel, and she made a mistake. Not only that she made a mistake, but she'd made a mistake that she was aware was a kind of, like, thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing that David Baddiel gets mistaken for Ben Elton. He's done comedy about it. I'm still going to say, it's great that you brought back Friday Night Live.
I mean, I also thought, thinking about that, so we went to the theatre, it was really lovely, we went to the matinee performance, and there's no question the audience are of a certain vintage, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm including us.
Well, including us, but we did feel quite young.
We felt young, yeah.
And I did wonder afterwards whether people would find it odd that you and a friend would go in the afternoon to see. I don't know. Do you think people sort of thought that's odd?
Or are you implying that people thought, yes, it's mainly pensioners here. That's why David Baddiel's here.
Well,
with his friend.
I don't know. I think I just thought I wonder if they thought, like, if you hadn't, the thing is, you have been, but if you hadn't been on TV for a while, they say, oh, David Baddiel now is going to the theatre in the afternoons. Well, they can't say that because you've been on TV a lot and you brought back Friday Night Live and all sorts of things.
It's not, I don't think it's the saddest thing you can do.
No.
I used to do material about, in my Fame show, about reading The Road, which is by Cormac McCarthy.
Yeah, right.
At the point in time when I wasn't on TV very much.
Right.
Just on the tube reading that, and also having hay fever. at that particular moment, and getting to the end of the road, which is very sad, and crying, but not but just crying generally, and also because I was pretty teared up, and then becoming aware that people were looking at me and clearly thinking, oh no, there's David Beale sitting on his own on the tube crying. I didn't know he got this bad. I'm not sure they think that about going quite expensive. It wasn't expensive because we got comps, but the for most people, quite expensive process of going to the theatre.
That's fair.
But anyway, the matinee, matinee, I see what you're saying. What I want to know is, as you know about me, I'm a deeply irrationalist person. Like, you know, deeply don't believe in God or any kind of sort of supernatural things. And yet, could it be the case that, having not had anyone say to me for quite a long time, you're Ben Elton, that somehow or other I picked up some kind of Ben Elton-ness at Upstart Crow, and I was a bit more Ben Elton-like than I normally am. And that's what caused it. Because it's such an odd coincidence.
Yeah, but except that it wasn't... that you looked a bit more like him somehow.
Somehow I morphed into a more Ben Elton version of myself. Because I, of course, don't think I even look like Ben
Elton. Well, that's the thing I felt. I think I look more like Ben Elton, which is to say I don't look like him at all. But you don't look like him at all.
No, but it is, of course, in a basket of associations. It's like, it's comedy, Jewish...
Right.
You know, sort of, you know, alternative comedy, same kind of vintage, where he's a bit older than me.
Yes.
It's a kind of all that. Yeah. But then I also wonder if in her mind, somehow, subconsciously, Andy's just come out of that play that he wrote.
Right, yeah. But that, except
she was, I should make it clear, she was nowhere near the play. We'd gone 20 minutes away from the play by the time this happened,
Here's the thing.
She had just seen me come at the theatre, then it would be fine. It would be absolutely understandable. She's like, oh, Ben Elton's gone to see his own play. I assume that that happens sometimes, but that is not what happened.
I've got two not Christmassy topical things on my mind.
So, should we have some vegan mince pie?
Oh, to keep it Christmassy.
Yeah.
So the one is...
I mean, this is my second mince pie of the day, which is quite bad.
These are lovely. Where are they from?
Holland and Barrett.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're not just full of sort of vitamin dust.
No, no. They'll be full of sugar. But they're vegan.
I'll tell you what I think about them. They've got a bit too much pastry to fill in.
Yeah.
I'm really struggling with the amount of pastry.
That's also true, in general, of Kipling's apple pies.
Yes, Kipling's apples are... Yeah, they're pretty mean, the filling. It's sort of air and...
Not pastry.
Yeah, also, it's true.
Sorry. I mustn't tell you this. So recently, I got four cats, as you know. And my fattest cat, Pip, sat on a box of Kipling apple pies.
Right.
Crushing them, but in a very typical way for me, I decided that I was still going to eat them.
Right.
And so I've been eating them, and they're all misshapen and kind of crumbly and whatever. And it's really brought home to me how the ratio is bad.
Right.
You sort of don't notice it quite so much when it's just a normal pie.
When it's crushed.
But when it's all crushed up, and the apple is sort of like where is the
pie? Wow, yeah, that's interesting.
When your cat has crushed it out, it really reveals the stark truth.
Because I thought what we actually felt was that Kipling's ones are exceedingly good. That's what I thought we felt as a podcast. And it's worth saying we do really, don't we?
Yeah.
So that's really one of the worst mince pies I've ever had.
Is it?
Yeah.
You're not even finishing it.
I don't like the star on top. It's just very paste. It's very sort of... It's basically a biscuit.
Yeah.
With a tiny bit of
mince. I'm alright with it.
But it's very Christmassy, and this is...
I've had a better apple pie.
So two things are... One is, like you, I know quite a lot of... famous people because I work in telly and so you know them and you sort of don't really think about it, and obviously I certainly don't think of you in that way.
Famous?
Yeah, as in...
I am famous.
No, that's what I mean. But I mean, I suppose I don't really think about that.
I've just said it out loud.
I don't think it's controversial.
Right.
And I thought, okay, it's interesting. Now we're in the World Cup and football's everywhere and you know...
I've got a single out.
You've got a single out, Royal Variety Performance, you know, straight on the back of your success writing Upstart Crow, and I think... what would be interesting, a lot of people would want to know this. I don't know if they'd want to know this. I don't know if they get that. It wouldn't be the first thing they think. But the other night, the England match was about to start. And I thought, what would happen? People might want me to text you and say, hey, I've just had an idea.
Yeah.
Will you call me in 5 minutes?
Why would people... Not people. Because I know you did that, and it was kind of a bait and switch. You were trying to find out whether or not I would call you. But...
No, it wasn't... Well...
Which people would want you to do that?
I think it's the sort of thing that you might do on TFI Friday or something.
Right,
you know,
text
David Baddiel.
Just before the interview, see if he'll reply.
See if he replies. Or like a Michael McIntyre thing on the show. I'm not saying it's funny, but it's sort of... But I thought, it'd be interesting, because whatever you say on the text, I'll be able to say on the podcast.
Yes,
And it'll be a thing.
Yes.
So
you did do that.
So I did do that, and I text you, so I've got an idea for it. And what I think everyone will be surprised to know is 5 minutes into the game, you phoned me.
Yes.
To say, basically, what do you want or something.
I did.
Thus meaning, at the time I thought, well, I can't use that in the podcast. Now I'm using it.
You are using it.
But yeah. I'm thinking, I don't think people would expect that. If you did an A, B, or C, will he ignore it?
Right.
B, say, in some friendly way, bugger off, don't you know the England game's on.
Yeah.
C, ring.
Yeah.
No one's going to say C, are they?
No, well, you know. I mean, I rung whilst watching the game.
Yeah, no, of course.
Like, I've got a phone in my ear, that doesn't stop my eyes looking at the game. I think I've forgotten now, but I thought it might be something to do with, wasn't it? I thought there was a reason why I thought I'd better call Tim. It was to do with the play. That was what it was about.
Right.
It was like we were going to the play the next day, and I thought, I better phone because it might be to do with arrangements for the play.
So I think all I mean is people might be interested to know if you text you before an England, you will call during it.
Right.
That's something people might not expect.
No, that is true.
The second topical thing, and maybe you've had this, is I've had my Spotify playlist thing for the year. What do they call it? Do you know what?
Rap.
Rap.
Yeah.
Have you looked at yours?
I've not looked at mine.
Okay, all I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Is that I've done, so my Spotify...
Yeah, your Spotify Wrapped. Do I have to guess it? Did we do this last year?
I don't think I'm aware of having done it.
No, maybe not.
But it's Christmas, we do...
We do it every year, it's a Christmas thing.
It's a Christmas thing we do on this podcast, which really comes into its own at Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously my number one artist...
Is David Bowie.
But what they tell me is that I'm in the top 0.5%. It's amazing service.
Yeah.
Of Bowie listeners.
Top what?
0.5% of Bowie listeners.
What does that mean? There's 99.5% of Bowie listeners are listening to Bowie less than you.
Yeah. We'll put it this way.
Yeah.
You gather around. I try and do the maths in the shower. Sometimes I'm so bad with percent. You gather 20 people around.
Right.
Go out into the streets with me. I'm one of the 20. I guarantee you, by the maths will tell you that I listen to Bowie more than the other 19.
Right, right.
Then I was trying to think, in Wembley Stadium, let's call it 100,000 people.
Yeah.
I'm 0.5%. How many people listen to Bowie as much as I do in that 100,000?
It's
500, isn't it?
500, yeah.
So I worked that out in the shower this morning. Shower's irrelevant.
Well, I think that's quite unlikely.
What?
I think it's quite unlikely that in Wembley Stadium there are 500 people listening to
Bowie. No, it's more like to illustrate.
Yeah.
What I thought was, 0.5%, that's good, that's pretty small.
Yeah.
But then I thought, if you do that with Wembley Stadium,
then
500 people are listening to Bowie as much. I mean, that seems like loads.
That's what I'm saying, yeah, exactly. Imagine if they were all in one bit.
Yeah, if they all started singing, you'd hear it. I feel like it's not that...
What, if they all started singing Life on Mars? Quite unlikely. And actually, being those type of Bowie people, it wouldn't be Life on Mars, would it?
It would be. But by the way, it's interesting you mentioned
Shadow
that track.
Man from the toy version.
It's interesting you mentioned that track. The one Shadow about Man, Life on Mar- Another Planet.
Right, Life on Mars, right.
Because what do you call it?
Life on Mars.
Right. What I noticed, I mean, we know this, but you don't really think about it.
It's question mark.
Yes, it's Life on Mars. That's literally what it is.
Yeah.
But no one ever says
I'm playing... Life on Mars, I think it's the most played Bowie track on Desert Island Discs.
Is it?
I think it is, yeah.
And
I bet no one's ever said, yes, well, I'm choosing Life on Mars.
No, exactly.
It's an odd thing, really, because obviously Bowie does say, is there life on Mars? And it is a question. But when things are a question, like, do I love you or whatever?
Right.
Well, no, maybe that is a question mark.
But it occurred to me this morning.
I don't know if there's a song called Do I Love You. There must be a song called Do I Love You.
Will you still love me tomorrow?
Yeah, that is question mark. Isn't it?
Yeah, but...
is it?
Will you still love me tomorrow?
Yeah, no one says that.
The actual name of that track. Now, no one says it.
Carole King, will you still love me tomorrow? No one ever says, Carole King, will you still love me tomorrow? Yeah. No one says that. that would be really weird, it would be technically correct.
You did something else then.
What?
You accented... Because you could equally say, will you still love me tomorrow? They're both questions.
Well, I would say if Carole was really saying that, it follows on a night, doesn't it? It follows on a night.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's before a night. It's before a night of sex.
Okay, yeah.
She's going to be saying, will you still love me tomorrow?
Yeah.
And the way I just said it then doesn't involve going up at the end of the sentence. It's just a serious, quiet moment before they get into bed. And Carole is saying,
do it.
Will you still love me tomorrow? I don't think she...
I think that sounds a bit questiony, though.
But the thing is, slightly weirdly, I put a little bit of erotics into it.
I didn't really pick up on that. that's good enough for you.
Well, do you want to try it? You could be
as a question.
You be Carole.
Sorry, do you want me to make it a question?
No, I'm asking you how you would say. My point is, would that naturally involve a questioning tone?
Yes, okay.
That in that particular moment.
Okay, so can you help me out?
The fire's off, we're getting into bed, you're a bit worried that this might be a one-night stand and you would prefer it not to be.
What? I'm going
to
see whether it's... I can do it as a question that doesn't sound like a question in a way.
No, just don't think about it grammatically. Think about the emotion.
Okay.
And how would you put that?
Okay. Can you help me out? Can you start by asking me if I'll have sex with you? So I need you to do that because it just helps me.
Okay, that's not the way I think it would have been.
Because you just...
I feel it's Carole King at that house in Tapestry.
Yeah.
Right? It will have been a long night of sort of, you know, patchouli oil and... Yeah. You know, nice food and the cat,
a McPlant or two.
Yeah, they don't have the McPlant, and then they gradually have gone to. It wouldn't have been a cold like. Will you have sex with me, Carol?
Okay, can you say something like, "I think this is going really well."
Yeah, I think we should take it to the next stage. What about it? How about that, Carol?
Oh, hang on, it's not naturally because it doesn't naturally go on to what you say.
No, it does.
Yeah, okay, but let me. I might have to.
How about we take this a stage further, Carol? By the way, I didn't do that as a question. How about we take this a stage further, Carol?
One of our operators will be with you as soon as possible. Please hold, and then they'll play.
Yeah.
Du, 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 du. What's that song?
I don't know. We need to love you tomorrow.
Well, no, I was thinking another one from Tapestry.
All right.
Friends.
You got a friend? Yes. Yeah. Possibly. Okay. Or Earth Move Under My Feet. I felt the Earth move. In fact, you could do the whole album about questions about sex. Did you feel the earth move? You've got a friend when you split up, but you still want to be friends.
Right.
Carol, I think we should take this to the next stage.
Okay.
Let's move it to the bedroom, Carol.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. But, will you still love me tomorrow? And that's really hard not to make it a question.
That is more questioning than that would be.
Okay, I don't think
she would say it like that.
I think
she would say, well, look, I got to learn. This is kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Because I know you might not be interested in a relationship, in a long-term relationship. This might just be a one-night view, and we haven't talked about that.
Will you still love me?
I got to ask you, will you still love me tomorrow? I don't think it would have a question in it.
And I think what's...
Because I think if he did think that, right, I think if Carol said, would you still love me tomorrow? You think, oh, I'm not that interested anymore. I was quite into the idea of a relationship, but she seems a bit weird.
Yeah, no.
Why does she speak like that? I'm out of here.
But I suppose what's poignant about it,
we'll
come back to Love Mask, because I don't think it sounds the same, is the notion that she's sort of answering it herself anyway. Because I think what she's saying is, I know where this leads and it's not ultimately giving me what I want.
Yeah.
So it's that sort of thing of, but will you still love me tomorrow?
You've gone sexy. Question? Well, you've gone too sexy.
Right.
You haven't. Can I make it clear when I said that?
No.
I was not turned on. What I mean is that it felt you'd gone a bit, you know, Barry White.
Are you loving it?
It went a bit Barry White.
Right, but what I mean is there are certain questions you can have which aren't questions, they're statements, aren't they? Which is, yeah, but you know where that leads.
Yeah.
That's a good example.
Yes.
Because it's not a question. It's not, you know where that leads?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't actually. Okay, well, I'll tell you.
Yes.
It's like, but we all know.
But that's sort of a rhetorical question. Which perhaps, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow is.
I think Will You Still Love Me.
Whereas, Is There Life on Mars isn't.
And actually, if you think about it, as I did this morning, for the first time, because it's just that question mark, for some reason, caught my eye. There's something very prosaic about it, isn't there? As a title. It's actually a really bad title.
Well, Life on Mars.
Is there life on Mars? You know, it's just
Not really. I quite like it.
But it's what... It doesn't feel... Like, I think it's better as Life on Mars.
Than Life on Mars?
Than Life on Mars? Do you think it's Life on Mars?
Life on Mars?
Oh, I don't know. The chances are...
You know what it's quite hard not to sound like when you're saying Life on Mars? Is like Ron Manager from the Far Show.
Yeah.
He was kind of saying, what is it? Jumpers for goalposts, isn't it? It sounds like that. Life on Mars.
Yeah. But it feels like the answer to that is, oh, I don't know, it's got to be possible, hasn't it? Or even like, I gather they may have discovered some water.
That's what the problem is. That I think when David was singing it, I mean, let's not forget it's a metaphor. I don't think it's actually an astronomical question. By the way, when I said astronomical, it felt like I meant like a really ridiculous question.
Right.
I meant like a literary question about astronomy. It's not that. But if it was a question about astronomy, in the 1970s, I think the notion is little green men might or might not be there. Now we are talking about microorganisms in space water.
So it's...
Space water, by the way.
That's a much worse title.
It's a big shopping centre somewhere in Essex.
But also, I think microorganisms in space water on Hunky Dory would really stick out.
By the way, you know, there's a new Hunky Dory thing. By the way, it's just dull, but there is. Have you seen
the reissue type thing?
No, but more than a reissue, it's got like demos on it. I've never heard.
I need to see that. Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's good.
That's weird because I'm one of the 0.5. I'm in tiny minority.
You know, I'm above you, of course. I don't know if I am. I should check my Spotify.
Yeah, you should check.
Oh, we should do it now. We could do that as a thing.
By the way, I've eaten all this pie.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But shall we just do my Spotify? How do you find out your Spotify rap?
Go on to your Spotify.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you are. That's you.
Oh, okay. How do I get rid of this? How do I get rid of Tori Amos?
These are all tracks you've listened to. Okay. This is making a great podcast. And then...
Oh, wow.
I mean, you can go through it at your leisure.
What if it's not even Bowie? No, they can't be... my year can't be contained in a playlist.
Yeah, they say that to everyone.
Oh, do they?
Oh, well, there's Bowie there playing.
Yeah.
Somewhere. You can listen, but there's a thing at the end.
Here's your year squeezed onto one page.
Oh, yeah. Right. Hold that.
No, Genesis have beaten David Bowie.
Genesis, yeah.
Genesis have beaten him. So what it is... So...
Who are your top five, then?
Genesis, David Bowie, The Beatles. There we go. Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh, that's a bit weird.
That's a bit surprising. And Tom Waits, who I don't think... I like Tom Waits, but I don't think I've listened to him a lot this year.
Do you share your account with anyone?
My kids, but they won't be listening to that stuff. I mean, the others, I think, are right. Well, this is my top songs. This is... Something is wrong here, because my top songs is something called Warm Love that I've never heard of.
Well, that's really weird.
No, that must be Ezra or something, my son. Second song is Go. Okay, my third song is Harlequin, which is by Genesis. It's not a song I listen to a lot, by Genesis.
Something weird is going on.
Something really weird is going on. No, this... Oh, but I don't know. And there's another one here. Hang on. Why is there different ones?
There's top songs, top...
No, top genres. There's different genres.
There's all sorts, yeah.
Anyway, so I'm below you. I mean, I think that is possible that I listen to more Genesis.
Well, anyway, the exciting thing is,
That
didn't turn out to be exciting in the end, is that if you're in a very high level of listenership, like you are with Genesis, some of them do what's called... they do messages to you.
Who do? Genesis
the artists.
Do.
So, for example, really? Pippa, my wife... Her top artist was Taylor Swift.
Right.
And she's in the top whatever. And so she got this message from Taylor Swift saying, hey, I understand you love my work. Right. I'm so grateful.
Do you think that was actually written by Taylor?
Yeah.
Specifically to Pippa.
It was on Pippa's phone.
Right.
And it said, hey, you. So I don't know who else that... There was no one else in the room.
Okay.
So I think so.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this would be interesting. Will Bowie... I mean, obviously not. But will... Well, what...
Will Bowie write to you?
Either will Bowie write to me...
From Mars.
From Mars? Or will the Bowie estate do some thing about on behalf of...
Spotify's algorithm just send you a message that it sends everyone.
Sort of thing. Or will Duncan Jones... Like, will they do a thing?
Yeah.
Like, thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, it turns out that didn't seem to happen.
Right.
What I did get is a message from Wolf Alice, who are like my third thing, saying, hey... Well, they didn't even do the Taylor Swift thing, much as I like them. I don't like them that much, but I sort of quite like their last album. They did a thing which is, hey, thank you to all our fans. So Taylor Swift was good because she said, hey, you. So it made it a bit more. They were like, thanks to everyone for listening, which felt a bit, frankly, a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, that's
true. But I did wonder, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen now with the Bowie, but I wonder if you know, like...
Could well, with Three Lions.
What?
Well, Three Lions has a lot of listens.
Oh, you might, so you might see, so, you might have so to do a message.
Someone might get a message from me. Saying, hey, you.
But I wonder what you want, but like, what I was thinking was, what would
I
want?
Do you think, like, there's someone called Joe, right, listening a lot to Jimi Hendrix, and might get a message saying, hey, Joe?
Yeah, well, no, because they don't do them specifically for each person.
They don't.
No,
that's odd, considering it was from Taylor that she didn't specifically, because Pippa, I think, is someone who doesn't like to be addressed as you.
No, I would have thought, God knows I've tried it.
Taylor would know that. And would say, hey, Pippa, not hey, you. That feels quite rude.
Right, I think you've probably misunderstood that, like, if, for example, you're in the top 1% of Taylor Swift lists, that's probably about 500,000 people.
Yeah,
So she's she does a lot of work, so she's got a good work rate.
Yeah.
Big work rate. Even she wouldn't do each, I suspect.
Can I tell you about the Sophie Wessex thing?
Oh, yeah.
It's extraordinary.
She said, thanks for listening.
So, you're in the lineup. After the
Royal Rite, this is last night.
You've seen that.
Yeah.
And lots of people there, you know, some great people. Sam Riley, he's very nice, the guy, the Eurovision guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he's
very,
amazing,
very nice. Omid Jalili was there. Lee Mack was hosting, he was brilliant.
Lovely, likely.
Eddie Goulding. Rita Wilson was there. Really extraordinary thing. Rita Wilson did a Christine McVie song. And I thought, well, did they suddenly do this, like, when she died?
Sorry, who's Rita Wilson?
Rita Wilson is Tom Hanks' wife, who's a singer. And with Gregory Porter, she sang Songbird by Christine McVie. And I thought, well, they must have just done this, like, really... But no, they were going to sing it anyway. So anyway, all these people standing there, including two German magicians who fantastically were dressed like... You know, if like in EastEnders, like 30 years ago, if they had a scene where some punks came to see and smashed up the Queen Vic,
they
were dressed like that.
The punks have the, what do you call it, the Mohicans.
Yeah, they were. They had Mohicans, sort of blue Mohicans, and they had a studded leather. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Germans still think that's cool. So all these people, and you have to stand there and wait while it was not the king, and it was not
King. It's quite low down, right?
I'm not going to say that. In case they listen, I'm not going to say that. Technically, I'm not going to say it was disappointing.
All I'm saying is technically it is low down the list.
I think he's about 14th in London.
There you go.
And also, he went to college with me. So, yeah, I mean, make of that what you will.
Right.
Anyway, so he's there, but Sophie, who I've never met, comes first. And she clearly thought, on seeing me and Frank, I could have some fun with these two.
Right.
So the first thing she says is, don't give up the day jobs, right? So I thought, well, that's all right. She clearly means, you know, singing is not really your thing, is it?
Yeah.
But then it became clear she doesn't really know what her day jobs are, right? Because she says... You know, it was fun, wasn't it? Blah, 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 blah. But, you know, it must have been a bit of a thing for you, you know, to be working, like, in a big live thing like this. She said, all this, you know, it must be odd for you working live. And I said, sorry, we're comedians, you know, we do comedy or whatever. And she went, but, you know, just on screen. You'd never do a big space like this. And Frank, brilliantly, Frank, who's, like, the most likely person to be pissed off by that, said... I did the Palladium last Sunday, and I was on the edge of saying, I was the first comedian to play Wembley Arena, you stupid royal, I wanted to say. Clearly you just don't know who we are. And there's a woman behind her, right, some kind of lady in waiting, thankfully not Lady Hussey, some kind of lady in waiting, with a card, who clearly, presumably, leans over normally and says, oh, this is David and the Frank Skinner, you're right, they're comedians, they sung that song. But I don't know if she thought, no, I know these two, it's fine. Mm. And I still don't know what she thought we were. In my mind...
Well, did it feel awkward?
Oh, no, it was awkward. It was awkward because she sort of went, oh, well, anyway, it was great. And, like, because, like, it was at that point it became clear. Like, I wanted to say, who do you think we are? Because I thought, do you think we're, like, newsreaders or something?
Yes.
And that song you just saw was, like, Angela Rippon on Walking with Wise suddenly doing a fun thing for charity.
But that's really interesting because what you get to very quickly there is when they do the sort of... There's something about royals, for example, when they do that sort of very nice see you as well, that you think, well, they sort of know what they're doing. They're being very royal. When they're like that, you just think, and also, who the fuck are you?
Of course.
Like, why am I talking to you? Like,
no, totally. I mean, particularly if you've gone to college with him.
Yes.
Right? Because you're totally, the thing about the royals, I mean, it's kind of anyone of note in a way, but people of actual note, David Bowie or whatever, the thing about David Bowie, you know, he did incredible, incredible things to become David Bowie, right? And that is there when you meet him.
Yeah.
You think, like you sort of thought about Greg Lake, for fuck's sake, that he sung pretty... I mean, that is enough. That puts him miles ahead.
Yeah.
Greg Lake, miles ahead of any member of the royal family for actual talent, actually having done something important, right? Mm. But you get this suspension of disbelief, because you're told all the time it is important. Like, if you're standing in a lineup and everyone is quite excited, like, although they are, there is something important about them. You can't really say what it is,
because
they haven't actually done anything like 21st Century Schizoid Man. But you're
amazing if they had.
Yeah. But then there's a crack in it if you went to college with him.
Yeah.
Because I did go to college with him. By the way, he's forgotten that because I did actually say to him, oh, hello, I think last time I saw you was at the ADC, which is a theatre in Cambridge, a student theatre in Cambridge. And he went, yes, probably. I thought, oh, you can't remember that.
Oh, my God. The whole thing was a disaster.
Yeah. You haven't remembered that.
If exactly that exchange had happened, word for word, well, apart from the ADC, but it was Kate and Willie. Would you have given them more leeway because they're just a bit more? They're going to be king and queen.
No. I mean, okay. Within the fake mystique of the royals, if you buy into it at all, and it is quite hard not to buy into it in the moment because you're fed all the time this idea that it is amazing. Yeah. Then I probably would think it's more exciting to meet them. But if it had been exactly the same conversation, with Kate. Getting it wrong, here we are, and saying, well, you would never have been on a stage like this before. Like, what are you talking about? Yes. I'm just saying that Frank, like, did a big event for the Queen about six years ago at the Albert Hall.
Yeah.
Like she was probably there. So
you should have basically just said, but anyway, is the life on Mars? Hoping that she would say, there'd be a silence, and she'd say, Sorry, you need, that's not a question.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
Is there life on Mars?
Yeah.
And then she said...
Yeah, it's like, well, I've been speaking to Brian Cox.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't quite know what he does.
And then I think...
I've like, no idea what he does, but he's the bloke apparently yeah. I had to speak to.
And you could just say, you know what? You're all right. And that's where it ends, you know.
Why would I do that?
Well, because she sort of made up ground.
I think it would have been absolutely amazing if it was a bluff. And this would be the best way of doing it.
Oh.
No, if she'd done a whole thing of like... Mm. Putting her foot in it, apparently, thinking like, oh God, this royal person doesn't know who we are, thinks we're some kind of like charity newsreaders or something, doesn't really know that we're comedians, it's all really embarrassing. And she'd done all that, and then just before she left, she said, thank you for goodbye. I thought, she's actually a massive fan.
Not only
she knows the thing about me that only 17 people listen
not
to this
Not only would that be amazing, you'd feel like, oh, I've really slightly embarrassed myself. You know, like I've got her wrong as well.
Yeah,
she knows it and she's been so gracious about it.
Yeah, yeah. That, I mean, it would be, I would just think that, what a brilliant person.
I think the worst of it would be, after what you've done and put her through, that she said, you know what? When I finished, I was going to say thanks for goodbye, but I'm not now.
Thank you for goodbye. Thanks for you ruined it.
Thank you for goodbye. And I'm not now. And you felt like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Talking of which, maybe a note to end on.
Yeah.
We had a letter.
Oh, yes. Can we end on this? This is a
and
good
the trouble is, I can't find it.
Oh, you can't find it. I might have it.
Did you text it to me? Okay.
And we've never...
I'll tell you one thing, is you text me a lot, and we have quite a lot of text conversations.
So maybe it's...
So it would take me a little while to find this. I think probably you're one of the people who texts me the most.
Well...
And when we text, it tends to be like the longest conversations.
Okay.
There's a picture of your puppy.
Like that's not a good idea.
There's a picture of your puppy. I should say to anyone listening, by the way, that we should have a moment's silence.
Oh, God.
For Ace.
Yeah, that was awful.
Tim's dog, who is dead.
wow, nicely put.
Yeah, he's definitely dead.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago we said...
Interestingly... Talk about death. They did have a in memoriam section during the Royal Variety Show.
Okay.
Which I was sort of wondering whether they have or not. And it's kind of
like
weird.
Have to do and things
yeah,
like
but
that.
It's kind of weird because it's variety, right? Now, variety means any form of the performing arts.
Yeah.
So I was watching thinking, like, well, this could go on sort of ever.
Oh, I
because
see.
It had actors and singers and dancers and film stars. It was like every time. Mm. And it went on forever. And I also thought, there's a lot of people in here, who are they going to end on? Are they going to end on the Queen, I thought?
Yes.
Because the Queen was in, you know, that Paddington thing. She's done some acting.
Yeah.
You know, probably inappropriate to end on the Queen. Yeah, but they
did.
I mean, they did.
Who was the biggest name?
They did have a big thing about the Queen. The thing that got a big... Oh, got a cheer. Now, who was it now?
A cheer?
Who, someone died quite recently. I can't remember.
Yeah, no, but
someone got a cheer. I did think at the time, I think they should maybe tell people somehow in a discreet way... during an in memoriam section, not to cheer more for one person than another or applaud more for another. Because they're all dead.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in death, we shouldn't be saying, oh, I like that one more than that
one.
Yeah, because that is how it feels.
Although in the end, maybe that's exactly the time you can do it.
Because they don't know.
Because they, as I understand it, they don't know.
Well, is there life on Mars? That's what you have to ask. Is there life after death?
So,
when did you send it to me?
Oh, God, I don't know.
I sent there's a picture of... Oh, here he is. Here it is.
Okay.
I think you should read it out.
Well, the context is that in our last podcast, or the last couple, this might be two.
The Warberswick podcast.
We might cut this one in two.
We might do, although we need to have them both out before Christmas if we do that.
Because this is a very Christmassy podcast.
Very
nothing
Christmas
in this could really go out after Christmas.
Definitely not.
So,
Christmassy.
Festive. What can you say? Christmassy, festive... I was going to say Yuletidian. That's not
no, Yuletide isn't a word. Yuletide is a noun. You can't say that.
Yuletidian.
No, that's not. You made that up. You made that like Vianetta.
Festive.
You said festive already.
No, there's just you can only say festive or Christmassy.
Festive, Christmassy.
That's all you can say.
Of the season. Seasonal.
Seasonal.
Yeah, seasonal sounds wrong.
That's like a menu.
Yeah.
Anyway, staying on the Christmas theme.
Yeah.
Gifts to everyone.
Yeah.
And a time for.
You don't need it to be a Christmas thing.
I was going to say forgiveness. Was it a time? Christmas is a time for...
Family.
Family, for... It's a more obvious thing that it's for that people say. A time for...
Peace.
Peace. Goodwill.
Goodwill.
Goodwill, that's the thing.
Yeah. Peace and goodwill to all men.
Okay. A couple of podcasts ago, we travelled to Warberswick.
Yeah. You suddenly, out of nowhere, it's a slightly maverick thing you did.
Right, I know, I'm a bit like that.
Yeah, you are a bit like that. Mm. You decided to make a competition out of the fact that there was a van ahead of us.
Yeah, so there's a van with a very famous brand on it, and we said, if you can guess what the brand is...
But we gave quite a lot of obvious clues, I think, to the brand. We said it was a food brand.
We said we'd send you one of the things that was in the van as a prize.
I think we did say that.
That could be an
issue. But I mean, we basically said it's a food stuff,
Yeah. It's at service stations, I think we said, often.
Yeah.
You can get them, I think we even said you can get them in sort of rolls and packs. I mean, we really made it very clear.
No, it's, well...
I think the joke was, we've made this competition too easy. Yes,
well, you think that, but we've only had one letter.
We only have three listeners.
And it's from, this is how you do it, isn't it? It's from a Mr. Philip Yellen.
Yeah.
Of, well, I'm not going to say where he's from, but it's from Abu Dhabi, which is interesting, isn't it?
Good that he listens in Abu Dhabi.
Give his address out any more than I gave yours.
Is it Abu Dhabi or Abu Dhabi? I've always said Abu Dhabi, but that's because...
What did I say?
He said Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi?
Yeah, well, yes, that's probably because Abu Dhabi sounds a bit funnier.
It's a bit crackerjack. Yes, Abu Dhabi. Crackerjack. I'm not sure, but he's, that's where he's from, in the United Arab Emirates.
Yeah.
But it's to me.
Yes.
Dear Mr. Tim Hinks, I've been listening to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys, which he helpfully puts in brackets, STFMBS, in case we didn't know that, since the first episode, and it's my favourite podcast. I mean, look, there are a lot of podcasts out there, aren't they? So we're aware that you can travel with other airlines, and thank you for sticking with us.
Yeah.
As requested, I'm writing in as I believe the answer to the road trip quiz, that's even that, makes it sound like we had something really...
Yeah.
The road trip quiz question is Greg's. David's going to reveal in a minute if you're right, Philip. I appreciate maybe there isn't much more to say on Bowie after so many fine episodes, but please don't give up on the show again. As if have we sent?
Yeah.
We haven't said we are, but thank you.
But he senses an exhaustion.
He says, "Please don't give up on the show and keep recording more."
Okay, all right. Well, he'll be very pleased. Not only that we're doing that, but that he's been read out.
Right, but then Philip, in a really brilliant flourish, just like the Duchess of Sussex. No, what's
just it? Like Duchess of Sussex didn't do.
Didn't do. Warm regards. From all the cats in the band, which as listeners will know, is a reference to Mark Bolan.
Well, before he said thank you for goodbye.
Before he said thank you for goodbye. He said
it's from all the cats in the band. So what is brilliant about that is that he hasn't gone, even for the, by most people's standards, certainly the Duchess of Wessex, very obscure reference, thank you for goodbye. He's gone extra yard.
He's done the equivalent of, if someone says, do you like Spinal Tap, you absolutely don't say turn out to 11, like everyone else does.
No, yes,
and he's done warm regards from all the cats in the band. And if you remember, because it's worth repeating, that this is when Bowie's on the when Bolan's TV show in 1977, and Bowie's on it, and it's a rather wonderful thing. And he does this towards the
end. Should
we
play it?
Yeah, we could definitely play it.
Have you got your computer?
But if my memory serves well, he says something like, "For more, he doesn't say warm regards." That's what Philip says. Mark Bolan says, "That's it. From all the cats in the band, you know who they are." which of course you absolutely don't.
No, I think he says you know who you are. Doesn't he?
Well, let's...
Meaning the cat, he's addressing it to the cats in the back.
It's been a long time since we've done this, but we could sign off on this.
Let's sign off for this. Although, hang on, I haven't revealed it. So, just to say, Philip, and listeners, it was Greg's.
Oh, blimey, well done.
Now, we did offer a prize, which, as you said, was probably a Greg's. So you might have to send some Greg's to Abu Dhabi. I think that's your responsibility. Because it was your competition.
Is that even... possible?
What, to send Greg's to Abu Dhabi? Well, how could that not be possible?
I don't know, something like send a pasty to Abu Dhabi.
Well, look, firstly, it won't be pork. Well, it could be pork, but let's send it. Yeah, so pork might be a problem, right? Because that's not halal.
Right.
So, I would say, and this brings us back to the McPlant, let's go for the vegan sausage roll.
Right, but in terms of our commitment as a podcast to net zero,
right,
it feels like...
You've made up that commitment, but...
Hey. Jetting against us...
it's not against us, that's a different brand.
A Greg's. Jetting a Greg across the world seems like...
Greg. I think you would still call it a Greg.
That's true.
A singular Greg. It's got a name. each Greg's is called a Greg.
I love that idea. But that
I can't eat this Greg.
And it's just... It's a collection of Greg, a number of Gregs.
You send someone called Greg to Philip.
So you go into a Greg's and say, I'd like a Greg. Somehow that's very funny. I'd like a... Do you do a vegan Greg? Yeah. Just want one Greg.
Yeah, well, if someone working and they're called Greg, it'll get very confusing. I'd like a Greg.
I'm not that hungry, I'm just going to have one Greg.
Anyway, we have to send
the
Greg.
We have to send it.
We have to send a vegan Greg.
Right.
I think expectations have to do that.
Yeah, okay. We will send...
I mean, in terms of air miles and COP27 that you're worried about, I think it's no, you know, sending a person is bad.
Yeah.
But I
sending
think,
a Greg, an actual Greg,
a crate of general things that are being sent right. to Abu Dhabi.
Right.
That's not that bad.
Okay.
It's like, it's not much different from sending a letter.
We will send you
sending
a Greg.
Parcel. You're okay. sending a parcel yeah. to Philip Yelland.
Okay.
What part of Abu Dhabi does he live in? Are you not, we're not
well, I can't remember the address. That's yeah, well, that,
you
know what?
If you did on this, not in the end of the day where I listen to podcasts, I wonder what the danger would
well,
be.
Well, I think that's,
for Philip Yelland.
Isn't that doxing? Couldn't I go?
Yes, but. It would
that.
Be doxing if this was a very mm. big podcast, and also if we were talking about something controversial.
Also,
we're really not.
If I walked,
he's won a competition.
If I walked into Wandsworth Nick
yeah.
on the first day and met Big Dave Two Guns
yeah.
Smith.
It's all a bit 1961.
Right, well, I think that's what it's been. Yeah. And he said, what are you in for? It's like, I'd say, honestly, it's not worth it. I promise you, you don't want to go. He's like, go on, tell me. The idea of being in for giving Dave, what's his name?
Philip's
address. Because of a competition where he had to name yeah. the... I think they'd kill me, wouldn't they?
Or, yeah. I don't think you could be put in prison
right.
for doxing.
Okay.
And particularly not for very unmalicious...
By the way, interestingly, so, Philip, at some point in the next few years, that is coming to you. So,
yeah.
well done. And sorry to all the others who gave...
Yeah.
You
yeah,
gave
yeah,
the wrong answer.
No,
you.
Sorry, you know who you are.
What? you know... sorry to the others you know who didn't get the right answer. Interestingly... I will find this video, but I've put in for all Bolan, all the cats in the band. You
yeah.
see, it's going to take more than that.
No, but, no, it's Bowie. It's Mark Bolan.
No, I'll do it.
It's
exactly.
the end of the Bowie episode.
But do you know, there is a Best of Mark Bolan and T-Rex a compilation CD called For All the Cats.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, maybe
so,
you say it quite a lot.
Well, I am a big fan of Bolan. I don't know as much as I do about it, but I don't think I'd ever heard him. I think that is a direct reference to that. I honestly think that's a direct reference.
You don't think it was a catchphrase?
It's not. I mean, he might have said it like... I mean, I've not heard it before.
Hmm.
So
I wonder what Mark Bowler would have thought about my cat sitting on the apple pies.
Here we are, look.
It's right at the end, isn't it? Oh, no, it's just,
no, it's just before he
goes
on.
Just before they play. This is a good bit.
Okay.
It's him sort of standing around with David.
Okay, so it's... Bowie, of course, does Heroes on the
yeah,
show.
Yes, it's one of the greatest things ever. It's Bowie does Heroes on the show.
And then he does this. Okay, I think we are going to get it. Then he do this song.
It's a terrible song.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Here Listen. We go. Mark Bolan Show, September 77.
Thank you for goodbye and all the boys in the band, David, everybody, all the cats, you know they are. This is a new song.
Right.
Okay, interesting.
Well, so we have
yeah.
to discuss that.
Yeah, that's so interesting. It tells you everything about part oral histories.
Does it?
It's the Play It Again, Sam phenomenon, isn't it?
Well, we've got it slightly wrong.
Yeah, but that's what's so
not completely wrong.
No.
He says... He says,
starts with thanks
he begins
for
with thank
that's
you
safe.
For goodbye. He says thank you
that's
for goodbye.
Thank you for goodbye is safe.
Yeah, it's safe, although it's a bit odd. Because you kind of think, like, you should probably end with thank you for goodbye.
But no, what I mean is, we are right to
we're right to mention thank you
for
goodbye.
Point, yeah.
But then he says, for all the cats.
No, he says, for all the boys in the band,
yeah.
all the cats, you know who they are.
I thought he said, for all the boys in the band, they
oh
know,
God, we're gonna have to
they
hear
know
it again.
Who they are, all the cats. I think he ends on all the cats.
Okay,
he,
well, let's...
And here's our new
I
song.
Think people will want us to get this exactly right. So, so,
okay, so
this, is, this is real time. Here we go.
Okay, let's see if we can say it along with him.
Thank you.
For goodbye.
For all the boys in the
band.
David, everybody.
David, everyone.
All
the cats, you know who you are.
Right, so thank you for goodbye
yeah.
and all the boys in the band.
Yeah.
All.
You know what? Now you're confusing me.
Hang on, does he say all. Right, we're doing this again. This is the final time.
Okay.
Thank you for goodbye.
Right, that's
safe. All the boys in the band.
All the boys in the
David,
band.
Everybody.
David, everybody.
All the cats.
All the cats.
You know
yeah. yeah, all
this
the
is
cats.
A new song.
They know who they are.
Yeah.
Or is it you know?
You know
yeah.
who they are.
You know who they are. Here's something. In all of this,
yeah.
I don't know who they are.
No, that's my
in
one
all,
point.
In all our Bowie-ology
yeah.
and all the references to this particular moment, I have never known who is playing drums and bass for Mark Bolan at this point
if
in
someone
time.
Burst into your office now with a gun
yeah.
and said, maybe it's Dave Two Guns from the prison because
yeah.
I only did a night because they said, oh, you can't put him in for descending a Greg because
yeah.
that's the correct name for it.
Yeah.
So they took me out. But I said something a bit off the cuff because I was frightened.
Yeah.
I said something flip because of the fear of Dave. And he's got a grudge against me and he comes
yeah.
in and says, right, finally, held a gun to both of our heads because
yeah.
you're just an associate of mine.
Yeah.
And he says, you've got to name one of those people.
Yes.
One of the cats in the band
yes.
or I'm fucking blowing your red off.
Yeah.
I think what I would say is... I'm not certain, but if I don't say anything, he's going to shoot me.
Yeah.
I think I would say Herbie Flowers on bass. Because I think he might have been on bass. Really? I don't know for certain. I think he was on bass.
Okay.
I just don't know, but I wouldn't have a
how
clue.
How would you find that out?
Well,
Herbie Flowers played in Mark Bowen's band in general.
Yeah, he would play with them, and he played with Bowie, and he was on that sort of Visconti scene. I mean, I'm not saying it is him, but I just think I've got no other guesses. I don't know what else to guess.
Okay, well, we're not finding a clean end to this podcast, but I'm now looking up Mark, the TV show.
Yeah.
Band.
That's good.
I mean, that's probably not going to be immediately available information.
Yes, yes. Well, I've just got it.
Oh, you got it?
TV show, Boland's band by 1977 consisted of Tony Newman on drums, would never have got that, Herbie Flowers on bass.
Amazing.
And Two Guns is like, oh, fuck you.
You know what?
But I'm an honourable man.
It relates to the Greggs thing, because that means that Mark wasn't completely right. When he said, all the cats, you know who they are.
Yeah.
Really, he should have said, the one cat, you know who he is.
You know one of them.
You know one of them. Probably not the others. Here's our new song.
I'll get you again, Inks and Badil, and he's gone. Guns is gone.
Yeah, no, Two Guns would be...
He's totally honourable.
Two Guns would be amazed by the Herbie Flowers moment.
But also I'd say, why don't you shoot us anyway?
Yeah.
Like, I'm an honourable man, I play by the rules.
Yeah.
I set you a task.
But Dave, you don't seem the kind of person who that would be important information to. You know, you seem unlikely to me. I mean, if anything, I would have thought you probably liked at the time Slade.
Right,
if you're that age.
Yeah, I don't think he's that
maybe,
age.
Or maybe, like... You
think you might say, I thought you might get Tony Newman on drums. I didn't think you'd get Flowers.
I think you're much more likely to get Herbie Flowers than Tony Newman.
Yeah, no, I've never heard of Tony Newman.
Is it just bass and drums as a keyboard?
No, I couldn't get the website open to find the other one. But
I think that's what we should go out on. Well, actually, I think we should go on, I couldn't get the website open to get the other one. And happy Christmas.
Yo, ho, ho.
I'm loving it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.